The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to this week's episode of Zach on Film. Very special guest this week, sitting across from the table, Rob.
Hi.
What's up, Rob? And here, as always, the one and only, the owner of the house, Steven Schleicher.
What up in my house?
What up? Raise the roof, because we need a second level.
Yes, we do.
We just walked out of the theater, our lovely AMC, and we watched Deadpool.
Woo!
Everyone's going crazy over it. The theater was sold out. Surprise us all.
Okay, wait.
All right.
Before we say the theater was sold out.
Okay. Hit me.
Let's talk about AMC theaters again.
Okay.
So there are 8 theaters, yeah, ranging from very large, which will accommodate, 500 people in the largest
somewhere
one
around there,
to the one we were in, which would accommodate around 300,
yeah,
right? Maybe 300, maybe,
yeah,
250 to 300. AMC knew that they had this movie coming out. I'm pretty sure this was the only movie playing tonight.
No, there's a couple other that came out.
I guarantee you The Choice.
Oh, no, it was...
Which was in their biggest theater.
Yeah, that was insane.
Was not going to be sold out.
No.
So what did
That's
these brilliant minds do? Instead of putting it in the biggest theater, which could accommodate the most people and,
mm-hmm,
make them the most money,
mm-hmm,
they put it in a theater that was about half the size and had to turn away people because they are not smart.
No.
Thanks, AMC.
Great job, AMC.
Eat a bag of dicks.
And that's pretty much what the movie is, folks. Not eating the dicks, but just saying the dicks. Rob, can you give us a quick rundown of Deadpool? I am not very familiar with Deadpool. I just know he's supposed to be funny and says, like, weird stuff, like chimichangas and breaks the fourth wall. That's all I know. Give me a quick background of Deadpool.
This is the reason he's called the Merc with the Mouth. Originally created as a knockoff of Deathstroke. He's got backgrounds with Cable and X-Force, Wolverine and Weapon X. If I remember correctly, his healing power is supposed to be supplanted from Wolverine.
Okay.
Otherwise, he's had a number of... He's been around since the early 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is he a Rob... He's a Rob Liefeld,
He's a Rob
right?
Liefeld and Fabian Nietzsche
okay.
Creation.
All right. Why do people love Deadpool so much?
I think a lot because of the comedy from breaking the fourth wall,
mm-hmm,
and talking to the reader,
mm-hmm,
in the comic books, and the fact that he is over the top in his... I mean, I'm not sure it ever happened in the comic, but he would be someone that would bludgeon you to death with a dildo.
Yeah.
Sounds
ridiculously
right.
over the top.
Mm.
Constant breaking of the fourth wall. Is a character that understands he is a comic book character.
Mm-hmm.
And this still manages to be a decent foil for most characters he's put up against.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like, I think that's what works best for Deadpool for me, is that he works with anybody, and you can use Deadpool in any other character in the Marvel Universe.
All right, because, mm-hmm, I know, we talked about the sold-out theater, one of my friends who's like, hey, I'm going to go watch Deadpool tonight. You want to go? I'm like, oh, I'm going to be there. He was the next in line to buy tickets when it sold out.
Guys.
And so then we were texting before the movie started. He's like, I just had no idea Deadpool was going to be, you know, so popular. I was like, well, it's a thing that I not like culturally. It's not like Captain America, but like the niche comic book thing. It's super popular.
No, because if this were only a niche thing, the theater would not have sold out.
But they created all the buzz about the film.
Well, this movie does some things that break every conception of what a superhero movie should be, first of all. The fact that it is an R-rated superhero movie
right.
is something that you wouldn't expect. right? From an X-Men franchise or 20th Century Fox franchise or anything like that. You wouldn't expect that. And then they continue to just break the rules all the way through, insisting on that hard R. I mean, at no point did they ever say, oh, we're going to try to bring this down so people can go see it from a younger age.
No.
From the very moment that they announced that they were making this, Ryan Reynolds is like, oh, no, this is going to be a hard R, and we're going to fight to make sure that it's a hard R, right? And then even the opening credits, normally opening credits, you're putting in the names of the actors, the director of the film, you know, your top billing people.
Right.
And they didn't do any of that. They made fun of the entire process from start to finish throughout the film. And it's just like I'm watching those opening credits laughing my butt off.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like going, they're telling you right up front that this is not going to be a movie like any other movie that you've seen in this genre. Now, one could argue that one way or the other, but then when you look at Rotten Tomatoes and others, the thing is like at 90%
or
something.
Yeah, it's really
like
high.
That.
Yeah. I mean, I was expecting it to be good. I thought it was either going to be really good or it was going to really drop the ball based on all the trailers. But it is... I was like laughing the entire time. I thought it was really good.
It's sitting at like 81% right now, 82%. Opening certified fresh. The other thing that should have tipped theater owners off was that this had such fantastic buzz from every pre-release audience that had seen it. If people have been watching or listening to Finally Friday, Ashley Victoria Robinson had a chance to go and see the movie early. She had nothing but positive things, and she's not a huge Deadpool fan. Everybody who even isn't remotely connected to Rob Liefeld or Marvel or anything has had nothing but good things to say. Early reviews have been positive. It's opening at 82%. On a Thursday night, it already made $12 million over in the UK, or I'm sorry, over in Europe.
Yeah.
They should have known ahead of time that, I mean, AMC is who I'm mostly digging at, but theater owners should know that this is a movie that people are going to be jazzed to see. So they have to be prepared for that. So yeah, I mean, it's just, it breaks a lot of the conventions that we expect.
Were you, pretty happy with the film overall, Rob, before we kind of get into some more nitty gritty stuff? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Is what you wanted out of the Deadpool film?
Yeah. I think it's about spot on for what I wanted from Deadpool.
How are you feeling, Steven?
I enjoyed it a lot. I really enjoyed it. The structure of the story was a little different than what I expected, but good movie overall. I really got a kick out of it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought the structure was very interesting and how they kind of played it out. Because for the most part, this film takes place in like a flashback type scenario.
That was the thing that I found was most interesting was that it was told in two parts. One was, here's what happened. We come in the movie about halfway through the action, and then as Deadpool is going through and trying to find this character Francis, we get his origin story told in a series of giant flashbacks. And these aren't just like little, you know, 2-minute things. These are like 10-20 minute stretches of here's some backstory, and then by the time we catch up, then we proceed forward from there.
Right. So the story goes, Wade Wilson is an ex-military type guy who is now a part of this, what is it, like a hitman for a protection
hire? He's like a hitman.
Like a hitman, but for good
Freelancer.
Reasons. He gets diagnosed with cancer right after he falls in madly in love with a woman, and they're so in love, and then he drops down, has cancer all over his body. He wants to give up. A shadowy man in a suit offers him a chance to be cured and to become a superhero. After much turmoil, he goes with it, and things go bad.
Yeah, classic origin story, right? You think you're going in and going to have the cure for cancer. Turns out that that the guy is basically going to ignite your mutant abilities.
Right.
And then sell you off to the highest bidder to go do their bidding. And most of them are evil, evil, evil people. So
right. And so things go bad. His mutant powers are unlocked, of course. But his body is horribly disfigured. I believe the character describes it as an avocado having sex with an older avocado. That was one of my favorite things.
Angry, hateful sex.
Yeah. You look, what is the other one? You look like
the end, he
a testicle
says,
with teeth.
Yes. Testicle with teeth is great.
At the end, he said flatbread pepperoni pizza.
Or you look like Freddy Krueger fucked a topographical map of Utah.
Yes.
So all great lines around.
Yeah, and so if you haven't figured it out, this movie is R-rated for a number of different reasons.
Right.
One of them being the extreme language, the other being the extreme violence.
Yes.
And then also lots of sex.
Yeah. I was very surprised because, you know, the sex thing I thought was going to be secondary to why they got their, like, the third reason. I think it kind of is why they got the R after the violence and the language. We saw a lot of Ryan Reynolds' butt. There is a shot of his ding-a-ling, which I think was probably...
more than one shot.
Oh, was there one?
Yeah.
More than one?
Yeah, that entire fight scene, every time you zoomed away, it was flopping.
Oh, I didn't notice. I just noticed the first time when he was, like, impaled.
Oh,
I was like,
you missed the one where they were trying to ignite his mutant abilities, and they were choking him out while pulling on his thing at the same time.
Yeah, I missed that.
Why? We were, like, two rows from the screen, Zach. How could you miss that?
Yeah. I didn't notice that either,
yeah.
So...
Yeah.
I guess I wasn't looking for it.
Yeah, no.
I was like, I wonder if we're gonna, because they're like, well, they were like always covering like girls, you know, bits.
Yeah.
I was like, well, what if we're gonna do this? And they kind of did. So I thought that was very interesting. But yeah, definitely a hard R film. I had a coworker on a trip this week, and she's like, yeah, my grandson said he wanted to go watch Deadpool, so we think we might go out this week. I'm like, no, don't. He's like, he's 8. You know,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
what this
is.
He's like, no, I didn't know. I thought it was just a superhero who got his face burnt.
Yeah.
No.
My oldest was like, man, I'd like to see that movie. And I was like, well, okay, so you're not going to be able to see this movie because it's got violence, and it's got bad language, and it's got naked people running around. And he's like, well, I can understand having an R for bad language and the violence, but why would there be naked people running around? I'm like, you can find out when you're older because you've got a few years yet
before I need to deal with this.
Yeah. I would probably be comfortable with him at 16 going to see this, 15 or 16 to going to see this, but not at 8.
No.
And people who think that this is going to be a fun family movie, the only other superhero movie that I know that's R-rated from Marvel is Blade. I don't know about Punisher. I don't know if that's ever gotten an R rating, the one with Thomas Jane or not.
Mm-hmm.
But this is. I mean, it's got X-Men in it. Punisher with Thomas Jane was an R. So there have been several R-rated superhero movies. Now, granted, of the ones that I have mentioned so far, Deadpool has an 8.8 rating. Blade has a 7.1. And The Punisher has a 6.5. So there's some diminishing returns on this. And, of course, time and distance also have an effect on that. But here's the thing that I think is really fascinating. And you guys tell me this. Everyone's like, oh, your movie gets an R rating. It's not going to do good at the box office.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in this genre. Do you agree with that, Rob?
No. Like, if you make a quality movie, it's going to do good. Like,
well,
yeah, it's going to do less than what, you know, like, it's not going to make money like the other ones are because there's going to be a lesser audience, but you plan for that and, like you...
Well, I think the fact that this movie was sold out and they were turning people away at the door...
Right.
...is a big indicator that, yes, you can make a movie like this and make it work. And as I was watching the movie, I was like, you know, Wolverine could have cranked it up a little bit more, gotten an R rating, and been just as good.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, go back to the box office, I think you have to look at return on investment, because this film is not going to be as expensive as, say, Avengers was.
No,
there's not as much salary involved.
In fact, they make a joke about that, right?
Yeah.
Because there's only two other X-Men. We have Colossus, which is a CGI character.
Right.
And then we have, I forget what her name is.
Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Yeah. Yes, who is, I've not even known that's
I have
a
no
real
idea.
Character.
Yes.
It is? Okay,
yes.
She is.
That's actually specifically why she had the costume she did, is because that's her costume from...
Yeah.
So... You know, those are the only two X-Men in the movie, and at one point Deadpool says, you know, every time I come by the X-Mansion, it's always so empty, almost like the studio couldn't afford to pay for any more X-Men.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it's really great kind of breaking the fourth wall humor. But yes, the budget on this movie is very small,
right?
Considering currently Box Office Mojo has it listed at $58 million,
oh, geez.
Which is like super...
A quarter of Avengers... without marketing budgets.
Oh yeah, without marketing budgets
and Avengers.
Know, Deadpool, they went, you know, to keep their marketing down. I'm sure that they've had some billboards and whatnot, and I don't even know if they did any television advertising because I don't really watch television.
Yeah, I don't know.
But most of the stuff was online and viral. And a lot of it was Ryan Reynolds just using his Instagram account and his Twitter account to put up these crazy ass bits for different days of the week and different holidays to get people excited about it.
Yeah.
So I think that viral marketing of this movie was really, really good.
Absolutely. And I was getting onto IMDb before we started recording. On the front, at least on their app, the front page of IMDb is like top Deadpool's top 20 movies, and it's like top 10 movies with dirty tiles that aren't dirty and all this stuff. I'm like, oh, so it's just all Deadpool and IMDb now. And you're right, Ryan Reynolds did like half the marketing from his Twitter and Instagram. I remember they were like, oh, look at this Olivia Munn thing, and she was flipping around swords, but it was Ryan Reynolds with a balloon,
oh, that was so great.
Yeah, so all the stuff they've done, and any a poster they released was so either graphic in its thing, or the emoji thing, everyone just started sharing it.
Yeah.
Actually, the poster that came out with him holding his gun in front of his crotch, they weren't allowed to put up at the theater.
In our theater.
They had it. They wouldn't let him put it up.
Who wouldn't let him put it up?
AMC.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was really funny.
So I didn't even know. Was there any Deadpool posters up? I just walked past
one of the big ones on the...
Oh, okay.
Was there?
Yeah.
Of him sitting on the chair?
I don't remember. I think it's actually just
everyone
close
else to sit on the chair with Deadpool in a weird, awkward pose. The first Avengers movie, $220 million. Avengers Age of Ultron, $250 million. Mm-hmm. Again, this movie, $58 million. So, you know, they're probably... I would imagine that they did not double the printing and advertising budget on this. I'm going to bet that they probably spent less than $20 million on advertising.
I guess it was on Fox, because they did do like that crossover with X-Files stuff, where it was like the commercial-free premiere because of Deadpool or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Obviously, that's with Fox, so there's something.
Probably spent a couple million there in advertising. They had some Super Bowl spots, so depending on how they used those, that could have been sharing the cost with those other commercials that he appeared on in.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
they could have
spent $50 million, but I think that's probably much, much less than that.
Honestly, feels like they probably just let Ryan Reynolds... Yeah,
just go crazy,
let
dude.
Ryan Reynolds loose because he was so freaking excited to actually make this film to start with.
So, maybe talk about that real quick, because Rob, you and I, one of the very first, is before Zach on Film, but it was a summer movie thing when we went to Utah and we all went and saw Green Lantern with Ryan Reynolds, and people had a lot of high hopes for that, and I think even Ryan Reynolds had high hopes for that, and then the movie was just a giant steaming green turd.
I wouldn't go that far. It was just really disappointing.
It was super disappointing.
It was not great.
And he's been hiding, or that specter of the Green Lantern has... been haunting him ever since. Now, he was Deadpool in the Wolverine Origins movie.
Wade Wilson, true.
And they made a joke about that in the movie where they had that action figure on the table. But even then...
That's also my favorite promo from the Australia Day promo.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And even then, you know, it's just like, he's just like, let's just do this movie the way it should be done.
Yeah.
Did
he's the one who leaked the original trailer?
Right,
at SNL a couple years ago.
I just saw that today.
He said, "I'm 70% sure I'm not the person who leaked the trailer." Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Because I mean, that's a kind of big thing in this story of the film happening. Is they shot a bunch of test footage, and then it somehow ended up online,
right?
And it was like everyone lost their minds over it and demanded it. It was awesome. It's the kind of thing like happened to Ant-Man. Mm-hmm. Ant-Man's footage leaked. And that became a movie.
But
did they release Ant-Man?
No, because what was happening was Edgar Wright was already directing the movie. He went to a convention and showed a sizzle trailer, told people not to record it. People in the audience still recorded it and put it online. People went nuts over that. So they were already working on Ant-Man at that time.
I thought that was his pitch on how he wanted to do Ant-Man.
No. He was like, here's something we're working on. Here's Ant-Man. They showed it, and people went nuts from that. That was already in the works.
Okay.
With Deadpool, though, that movie had been dead forever, and suddenly, boom, here's this thing that's supposedly from a movie, even though it looks like it's from a video game, and how did it get online? And people were just like, oh, my God, Fox, you would be stupid not to make this movie based on what we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And at a budget of, again, at a budget of $58 million, and this is what made Iron Man work so well, is that the studios could give two craps about the Iron Man movie or, in this case, Deadpool, mm-hmm. and they're just like, yeah, sure, go do whatever you want. And because the studio's not meddling, like with the first Iron Man movie or mm-hmm. with Deadpool, they had this freedom to kind of do what they wanted. And if that means showing Ryan Reynolds taking it from behind, then you show Ryan Reynolds taking it from behind.
Yes.
And it really, really worked. I mean, you could, I mean, the cast is really small in this. Besides background extras, there's less than a dozen speaking parts in this movie.
Oh, yeah. By far.
And even then, some of those speaking lines are very small.
Uh-huh.
And, there may be, is there a dozen, Rob? There may be only 8 or 9.
About a dozen.
Yeah, about a dozen.
Something
so,
like that.
So,
and some of those are like 2 or 3 lines.
Yeah.
The taxi driver at the start of the movie gets more than a couple of the other named characters.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think he speaks more than the ex-girl.
Oh, yeah.
He has a lot more.
I think it's built into her character, though.
To not
that one I didn't notice, but like he speaks more than Cunningham at the other patient. He speaks more than mm-hmm. Bob, who I mm-hmm. think the only other two named characters besides the actual story-oriented mm-hmm. characters.
Yeah.
So something that was great, and I think Ryan Reynolds got asked on Twitter this last week, was how many Easter eggs did they put into the film? And he said at last count they had over 100 Easter eggs
Holy
in
crap.
The film.
Wow.
There was a couple.
There's a lot of them right up front.
Yeah,
I mean,
like the Rob
like
L. coffee yeah. cup, and mm-hmm. then they said Liefeld as they yeah. were going in there, mm-hmm. and then.
Well, then there was the, you know, there was the Green Lantern photo
yeah,
in the wallet.
Yeah, oh gosh,
and then there was
Ryan Reynolds,
you know, Ryan Reynolds on the. On the photo, there was a lot of Wolverine talk.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're just talking X-Men
magazines.
Stuff,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if they're just talking X-Men stuff, there's a lot of that in there. But you know, the end credit bit, which I was like, even before Rob was like, hey, is there an end credit bit? I'm like, I really don't know. And as soon as he said that, I'm like, if I were the creators of this movie, I'd do it like Ferris Bueller. And sure enough, they rip Ferris Bueller right off at the end, which uh-huh. I was like, oh, this is great.
Well, that one was doubly great because they do the whole gag, and then they go to black,
and then he comes back,
and then it's like, oh, Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
Cable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't really know a lot about the production of this, Zach.
I know.
They kind of kept everything. It was a small crew. They shot up in Canada. They did some special effects work in Australia. But it was basically... You guys go do whatever the hell you want, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks when you're done.
Right, but I did notice in the credits, which I can't remember a major film that I have seen. If you wait till the very end, everyone, you can see cameras they shot on and everything. You can also see what editing suite
they used Adobe.
And they used Adobe Premiere to cut this film, which surprised me because I don't remember any film that I've seen in a theater.
No,
there have
been a couple of others that
have had.
There was one that we just watched recently. That also had Premiere listed on it as the edit system. Most of them are Avid, but, you know, and I would like to really find out what they shot this on, because it wasn't film. It was all digital.
Yeah, it was definitely digital.
So, you know, the digital workflow with Premiere is really cool. It's really easy. We use it all the time here at Major Spoilers, and so it makes sense to just go ahead and stay something like that, especially with all the effects work and bringing in the different formats and everything. So
I mean, I think that's the cool thing about seeing that they used Premiere is literally you could have a professional mm-hmm. editing suite that made Deadpool on your computer for like $30 a month,
mm-hmm.
and then you have the same tools they were using essentially to cut this movie together.
Right.
So it's just really super cool. I had something to say. Yeah, but the production, I mean, from the story-wise, the flow, how did you thought it flowed together? Do you think they kind of... Because the back and forth in the storyline can sometimes be tricky to get your pacing
right. And
I thought it bottomed out a couple of times, and I was let's speed this up really quick.
I had some problems with the flashbacks, too.
Mm.
I think that they were a little bit too long. Unfortunately, I don't think this movie could be told in chronological order. I think it had to be told with the flashbacks. But I just think that, like you said, a couple of them bottomed out too soon.
That didn't bother me at all.
Mm.
Not at all.
Not at all, Rob? Not an inkling of, I wish this would go a little faster? Mm-mm. Nothing?
No. I don't know, the cutting back and forth helped. Because I'm thinking back to things like Amazing Spider-Man and just the ridiculous origin, like we're however long into the movie and we don't even, the character doesn't even have powers yet.
Sure.
And whatnot. Yeah. And, you know, this was fine.
Oh, good. Well, I mean, that's good you feel that way.
Well, if you guys want to know the whole plot of the movie, hopefully you've already seen it before you're listening to this, but the whole plot is up on Wikipedia. I mean, down to the post-credit roll, yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, so, you know, don't go have anything spoiled for you.
Yeah. With the... I was going to say, do you think they went too far into referencing Marvel, Avengers, X-Men stuff? You thought it was just perfect? It never got too much. It didn't for me. I was just wondering.
If you're going to keep this in the X-Men universe, then that you got to continue to do that throughout. I mean, 20th Century Fox owns the franchise or owns the rights for the films. So, yeah, not a problem to push that as far as they can.
Yeah, I think they could have actually done a couple ones. I think the one obvious one that I think they should have done was the fact that Colossus is a new actor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It sounded like a new guy?
Well, it's not the same guy as...
Oh, from the previous films?
Yeah.
Mm. Huh, interesting.
Interesting.
And he's obviously quite a bit bigger, because in the previous films he was...
Well, it wasn't a real person. Yeah. Rob. It was all CG. They even said so in their credit, a CGI character.
A CGI character, right. I understand that. Okay. Like, in the previous films, he wasn't all CG.
I was surprised, because the big last battle scene takes place... I mean, that looked like a helicarrier to me.
Oh, no, no. It was just a...
A giant ship?
Aircraft carrier up in salvage.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but it wasn't like a helicarrier that had wrecked and was just there.
No,
to me, it looked like a helicarrier, and I was like, I think this is a thing. And then I didn't. Maybe I was just wrong.
Maybe
and
it was.
I didn't
read it as that.
I didn't either.
Oh, all right. I thought it would be fun, but apparently I am wrong.
Yeah, sorry.
So Deadpool 2, good to go with it?
I think they've already begun production, if I heard.
Do you think they'll be able to carry over the success of this? Because you think about Iron Man, I thought Iron Man kind of dropped off a little bit.
Well, so here's, like I said, the nice thing about Iron Man in this movie is the studios just were like, here's $50 million,
right.
Go do whatever you want to do. It's not going to make us or break us, and suddenly it blows up to be a huge moneymaker, which I honestly, if in one day it's already made a quarter of its budget, by Monday this will have... It'll easily have doubled its production budget and probably would have paid its P&E. So anything from Monday on, which I think next weekend will probably be even stronger than this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to look at $250 million
Gods
profit.
Gods of Egypt to go against next weekend. No, that's in 2 weeks, isn't it?
I don't even know what
the
movie's about.
That's one of the previews we got. It looks absolutely terrible, and I'm looking forward to it.
Let's see if Dungeons & Dragons, the movie, meets Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
That's what that movie looks like. Mm-hmm. So, there you go. I'm still trying to look. I'm trying to look and see if I can find what this movie was shot on. I'm not really seeing anything.
Yeah, sometimes it's so hard to find it if they're not being considered for, you know, one of the big cinematography prizes or I remember I saw Kodak at the end, and didn't they just put out a film or a digital camera?
I think they did a while ago. Yeah,
and so I don't know if that's what it was or they had some other integral part in the production of it, but I just remember seeing Kodak, and then I got distracted by the giant red Adobe A, because everything else is white, and then you have the giant Adobe red logo.
Well, so we know it wasn't shot on red, which would have been an obvious choice to do it, because that would have been all over there. So I was surprised by that. I think that was the thing that surprised me, was that there was not a red camera mentioned in the shoot, because that's what I would have gone with in this shot. But
especially because the compactness of the red, this quality of its images, and then the integration to the Premiere, it seemed like it would be an easy flow. But, you know, those are always the things we like to geek out about.
I know.
It's fun, though.
Yeah.
It's so fun. Rob, is there anything this movie could have done better in your mind, or is it the perfect Deadpool movie?
I'm sure there's a few things that they probably could have done better.
Yeah.
I know a couple of the action sequences that was taken a little out of because the camera wasn't as... I really don't like camera moving a lot or shaking at all.
Yeah, the flipping around and doing all that. Yeah.
Like, I want a steady shot during the action sequence so I can see the action.
Yeah. There were a couple of continuity errors, especially in that last shot where he gets stabbed in the head, and then he pulls the blade out, and then you see a shot from that angle of his face as he's talking to his girlfriend, and there's no blood stain.
Oh.
And then, like, two shots later, there's a blood stain there. So,
yeah.
Delayed bleeding, sure, but no, I don't believe that. I think it's multiple effects houses working on these
missing
shots.
Some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt... So we sat really close because... I mean, when I pulled into the parking lot, it seemed half full.
Yeah.
It did not, like, the number of people in the theater, there's a lot of carpooling to actually fill the theater up for how many cars there were in the parking lot. So we set up really close, and...
A little off to the side.
Yeah, a little off to the side. And
it was a little disappointing, but that's our fault for not.
Well, yeah, that's just on us. But it did, from that angle, like, some of the action sequence was so fast and all over the place that it was hard to follow. I even thought... The opening sequence, as they're slowly going through everything and doing all the funny credits, it was at times hard to follow because you're like, what am I looking at? Or I'm all over the place. And so this is like one movie. If we could have been about, you know, five or six more rows back, that would have been close enough, but then probably could have taken in the whole screen
If we were in Theater 8 and sat in our normal seats, it would have been just fine.
Yeah, it was good.
But, you know, once you got in the mood to settle down and see how and where the action was taking place, I thought it was fine. It wasn't really distracting for me.
No, I thought the action sequence was, overall, I thought they were really well done because they are able to play so much, not only with the humor in the violence, but what Deadpool's actually able to do because of his regenerations. Like, him trying to take on Colossus was just was one of the funniest hilarious. Scenes. Just watching his arms go, his limbs,
hearing all the bones break, and then watching his limbs flop,
and then cutting off his arm to get away with the finger at the end. It was really good. I mean, I don't read a lot of Deadpool because it's kind of not my thing, but I would say that this is a good adaptation of a comic book character.
Really?
I thought it was super faithful. And certainly when you have Rob Liefeld all over Twitter saying the same thing, then, you know, it's probably spot on.
I wouldn't know. Rob Liefeld blocked me 2 years ago.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, Zach.
I'll tell you that story.
That is an accomplishment, sir.
No, that's all right. But is this like the origin story of Deadpool? Is there an origin story? Does it matter?
I think there's been several origin stories.
Is similar.
Yeah, the cancer, yeah.
Okay.
He's not supposed to be a mutant. Exactly, which is what this one implies.
Yeah.
This one implies they're triggering latent mutant abilities in people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But no, it's supposed to be some sort of genetic modification, taking the Wolverine's regenerative abilities and giving them to Wolverine.
I see.
That's actually what makes him snap. He's not.
Yeah,
quite,
he wasn't as mouthy before he became Deadpool. The stuff messed with his head.
Okay. Yeah. Is this a character, though, that I think, like, if they change things in Spider-Man or, you know, some characters that people would, like, freak out more if they changed origin stories, is this a character that doesn't really matter if you tweak with his origin at all? Or is that... Because
I think there was a series not too long ago that I thought went back and tried, and there was a sequence of a bunch of different origin stories for him. Maybe I'm wrong. But... It's kind of like one of those things where the origin story, because Deadpool is the one telling his origin story, you don't know if it is all there or not. Now, somebody can correct me, that's fine, but that's my recollection, is recently there's questions about his true origin because he's the one telling the story.
Yeah, I'm not all that up on Deadpool as a solo act. Like, he's always... Like, all of my favorite Deadpool stories are him with Straight Man.
Okay.
Because
Deadpool is, at least from me not reading it, is a character known for crossing over stuff and then doing weird...
So here's what Joe Kelly says. Joe Kelly says, with Deadpool, we could do anything we wanted because everybody just expected the book to be canceled every 5 seconds, so nobody was paying attention and we could get away with whatever we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's what made it popular, was that they could do these wild, outlandish things, and they're like, well, the book's going to be canceled, and people kept buying. So.
Right. That's interesting, especially if they take that philosophy into the movies. It's like, well, we can just kind of do whatever because our budgets aren't enough to really affect Fox's bottom line if we don't, you know, put up $2 billion or whatever.
I wouldn't be surprised if there isn't someone at the studio who funded this who is not just fuming with anger because that person was like, oh, yeah, I'll give you this money and it's going to fail no matter what the internet says. The internet's not going to show up because the internet is this. And then come Monday morning, somebody's going to be very upset that the movie has done so well. It's my guess.
I mean, that'd be interesting.
Yeah,
because if they wanted to fund this correctly, it would have had more than $58 million budget. It would have had double that amount. Mm. And there are times in the movie where some of the effects work looked like they could have spent a little bit more money on it. It wasn't as bad as the opening shot of the Avengers Age of Ultron movie, but there were a couple of places where I was like, ooh, that does not look really great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. A lot of it has to do with bodies being crushed and flipped around, and they're more ragdoll than...
Those
rubber guys? You've ever seen those rubber animated things on internet where people have basically taken the bone structure out of the 3D animated guys, and they're just flopping around? There were times where there was that stuff going on.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely... If you think back on it, there's definitely... Not besides Deadpool being all...
Right.
But, like,
no, but
actual
I mean, like,
people he kills, like, just, like, flopping all over the place.
And there's a lot of stuff that's telegraphed in this movie.
You
know, where he's like, oh, I'm going to... You know, at the very end where Francis is saying, oh, what's my name? And Deadpool's like, I'm going to spell it for him. Like, okay, he's going to kill these guys and spell their names in either blood or their bodies, which he does. So there's a lot of lampshading and telegraphing of what's going on or what's about to happen. So nothing is really super shocking, but it's the fun bits and the way that they get to it that I think makes the movie work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing I was disappointed in watching the trailers as many times as I did, and watching or listening to the lines and how funny they were, I assumed, based on how, and knowing T.J. Miller, and apparently, I mean, I found Ryan Reynolds on Twitter. He's, like, hilarious, and I never knew it. And I think he's a lot of comedic timing, kind of like T.J. Miller, where I assumed they were just giving us a couple of the takes of the lines they were delivering, and then there was going to be different stuff in the film.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the stuff that was in the trailers ended up in the film, and I think they didn't play as well because we'd all seen them so often.
You run that risk of all the funny bits are in the trailer.
Right, and there's that's definitely not necessarily true. While there is a lot more humor in the film than it's in the trailers, I assumed that they would be putting dummy lines in the trailers because they seemed like integral kind of parts in the film, even when they play out those parts from the trailers, that I thought they would give us something a little bit different, especially when they're kind of doing their big battle and Nukehead teenage girl, whatever her name is, goes in
Megasonic teenage warhead,
mega punches the other girl, and Deadpool's like, oh, I pity the girl who forces her into prom sex. Which is like that. Was that was a line. Like, oh, surely they have something else for it. And then when he said it, it was not like as much laughter as I had when I saw the trailer. Everyone had seen it 5, 10, 15 times at that point, so it kind of killed the laugh. Right, we already knew. That's why I thought they would be, you know, aware of the comedy elements and kind of rip them out.
Well,
and replace
them. When you've only got $58 million to work with,
true.
You're not going to have a lot of stuff hitting the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's kind of like the thing when him and Deadpool, or Weasel and Deadpool, are going back about his face. Like that felt like the perfect just ad lib the crap out of this scene, and then we'll roll them at the end, or we'll put them in and space them out. But they were all in the Red Band trailers, but those were all
because they were all super.
I mean, they were all hilarious, but I just thought that's something you'd have like 50 of, and just go with them. But that's really, besides some of the, like, every once in a while, very shortly, that I thought this was kind of dragging in the Will Ferrell-esque ad-lib crap they had all over the place.
Right.
Those were my only downsides. I thought this film was probably one of the most fun superhero films I've had in a really long time.
Do you think this was more "quote unquote" fun than Guardians of the Galaxy?
Guardians
of the Galaxy went for light humor as well. Now this was tad blue humor,
sure,
but I mean it went for humor as the main push for a lot of the character motivations.
Yeah, I think I had more fun. I enjoyed Guardians of the Galaxy. I enjoyed it a lot, but I enjoyed this more. Maybe it's because it is a humor that I laugh more at, and there was definitely, from what I remember of Guardians, way more humor push in Deadpool than in Guardians. I had more fun at Deadpool. What do you think, Rob?
I'm gonna have to see it again.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in the theater since it's been so long.
Well, I'm gonna have to see Deadpool again as well, because I ended up going to Guardians of the Galaxy like 5 times on opening weekend.
Oh, really?
Like it came out.
You're the guy.
It came out the weekend of my birthday. We went to the premiere, and then basically for my birthday, everybody was just taking me with them when they went to go see it. It was like, okay. Darn.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to watch Deadpool a few more times to really see if the push. I think this one pushes the humor a lot harder, but that's just because that's kind of
what
who
it is.
Deadpool is.
Right.
Like, you don't have Deadpool without him jabbering constantly.
Do you think this is going? Because now I was thinking in the middle of it, which is probably not great. I was like, man, when I go watch, Civil War in a couple of months, I'm like, gonna wish like Deadpool was in there to make it more funny, because now it's like I really like the funny superhero type thing, and now
they've got Spider-Man.
Well, we don't know how much Spider-Man's gonna be in there, but you know, it's just that idea of now everything's gonna seem like a dark superhero movie now that we have Deadpool. Isn't
true.
Even like Marvel used to be the light kind of guys, and I think they've kind of steered. It's getting kind of serious, and then Marvel or DC stuff is like just
super
a shade of
barely.
Black with Batman punching a child.
He doesn't punch a child.
We don't know. We haven't seen the film. He could punch a child.
I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah. So it's like everything is going to seem dark now compared to Deadpool, even though it is.
Despite the fact that Deadpool
is very. It's, I mean, there's a lot of. I mean, this Deadpool is a dark movie.
Well, yeah.
And when you think about it, the things that's going on. It's some very disturbing stuff in the movie, but at the same time, the interjection of humor or the injection of humor, I think, really made it play off well.
Right.
So from my standpoint, you know, I loved it a lot better than Iron Man 2 and 3.
Yep. So did I.
I think I liked it a lot better than Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I liked it better than the Hulk.
Sure.
I still like the first Iron Man movie more than this, and I like Guardians of the Galaxy more than this. But it may be my third or fourth favorite Marvel movie at the moment. I would like to see this again, but I don't think I want to go back to the theater to see it.
Oh, really?
I think I'm going to actually. As awful of the experience the last couple of times have been at our theater and dealing with AMC, I just kind of dread going to the theater now. And it used to be because yakky people, talky people, people that wouldn't shut up during the movie. And I'm pretty sure some people around us were drunk, because I thought
smelled
vodka pretty.
Oh.
Or gin or something. But
I don't have a nose right now.
Yeah. But I just keep having awful experiences with AMC, and it's just turning me off of going to movies. So
I know I'm going to go back and watch Deadpool again, because Aubrey actually wants to go watch this.
Does she?
Okay. Yeah, she really does.
Well,
and
you know,
one reason
she didn't
tonight was because she had homework and stuff.
One of the things that that I've been reading through this is that it's tracking really well with female audiences.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And not just a date movie, but that female audience, women, really wanted to see the movie.
Well, it seemed like there are
all
a
three
lot
of the
ladies in there.
Female there's three strong female characters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
None of which are treated
poorly.
Like, they're all, like, we get three different, like, archetypes for characters. Mm-hmm. We get, none of them are bad characters.
No,
They're,
well,
all three
of them
kick some ass.
One of them's bad.
She's the
bad.
Evil.
Yeah.
But she's not. She's not written poorly.
No.
There's at least some interesting aspects to her. She's
Could Deadpool, a successful Deadpool movie at an R, change future superhero movies
R? I think by Monday there will be a lot of people sitting down and going, "Man, you know that fourth Wolverine movie? It probably would be... they probably wouldn't. See, the problem is they won't do it... I don't think they can do it with their key heroes. I mean,
really?
As much as it would be interesting to see an R-rated Wolverine movie,
mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to get it because it's too popular of a character. It makes too much money with kids.
Mm-hmm.
As much as Batman and Superman and Green Lantern and The Flash and all these others could make some interesting R-rated movies. I mean, actually seeing Batman break someone's arm and have the bone come out,
mm-hmm.
that would push it into our territory. Mm-hmm. We've not seen that. We've seen arms get broken, but we've never seen bone come out. We've never seen that kind of stuff. I don't think they'll do it with big characters. So we're going to have to look, if you're wanting R-rated stuff, we're going to have to look at more Punisher. We're going to have to look at smaller characters to do that. I think this
gives Marvel and Netflix the go-ahead to make their series even darker. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, obviously Daredevil and Jessica Jones were already really
dark. Oh, yeah. I mean, Daredevil and Jessica Jones break the violence and the sexual barriers. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't see complete nudity in Jessica Jones, but the sex in that I thought was more graphic than the sex that we saw in this movie, in Deadpool.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we don't see... Well...
Yeah. Yeah, I just think it'll be... I think you're right. I think they'll think it's too much of a risk to take their heavy hitters into that territory. They'll just keep pushing that PG-13 to the wall.
I think we will see more R-rated superhero movies going forward.
Kind of give some of the other smaller characters, like you mentioned,
yeah, I mean, yeah, I think if they decided to do another Blade movie, it would definitely be an R. If they did another Punisher movie, it would definitely be an R. What will be interesting now is if, you know, Punisher Max was a series imprint from Marvel that was really R-rated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it had nudity, violence, language, all the stuff in that. I wouldn't be surprised if they do another Punisher movie that it would be pushing R in and into NC-17 territory with just some of the graphic violence that they could do in that. But now that he's on Netflix with Daredevil, I don't know if they will go back to the big screen with that. Who else? What other
What's
characters from Marvel?
Squad movie rated?
It's PG-13.
PG-13. Yeah.
So that's another group that they could easily get away with going R.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But Marvel characters that would go R, Wolverine's
the most obvious. Would be the obvious one, you're right.
If
they wanted to do a Weapon X, they could do that.
Yeah.
They could make it, or Weapon X and Sabretooth, and they could do that. They could do a, that Secret Six movie that's kind of languished. They could do it there, but too many people associate it with Spider-Man would expect it to be in PG-13. Yeah, the Sinister Six, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What other characters does Marvel have?
They have a lot of them. That's why Disney bought them.
I think if they wanted to do the last hurrah with Wolverine and then just do it R and just get it done with, that would be interesting. But, yeah, I think it would be hard to do anyone else. So, Rob, as you wrap up, how many chimichangas would you rank Deadpool?
4.5 chimichangas.
That's a lot of chimichangas, Steven.
I'm a little full from dinner, so I'm going to give it 4 chimichangas.
I think I would give it 4 as well. I really enjoyed this. I was incredibly happy. I had high expectations going in, but I think it actually met them and probably exceeded them overall because I had just a good time in the theater.
That's why so high is because this is a rare movie where I had super high expectations going into it.
Did you like it more than Star Wars?
No.
What I was surprised with. I don't remember people applauding at the end of Star Wars. The audience applauded at the end of this movie.
I don't remember us clapping at Star Wars either, but they just broke out and started clapping like crazy.
Yeah.
I think it was because this movie actually actively encourages it.
True.
Because Wade's talking to us the entire time.
Yeah.
So by the end of the movie, we're not...
I guarantee you in the Star Wars movie, there were a lot more hardcore Star Wars fans in that movie than Deadpool fans in this movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yet, more than half the audience was applauding at the end of Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that very says interesting.
Something.
Yeah. Yeah. So great week on Zach on Film. Next week, we'll be talking about another film, of course, what we do every week. But in the meantime, head over to majorspoilers.com where you can find all sorts of comic book news that get you through the week, and more podcasts to listen to than you have time for, but why don't you try anyways? While you're there, click on the Amazon.com link where you can go buy all your Deadpool comics, or probably, I'm going to guess, probably
Deadpool
pre-order
comics.
Deadpool at this point, the way you can pre-order some.
Oh, yeah, it does, would not surprise me.
It's not going to cost you any extra if you use that link, but that little bit of that money will come back to Major Spoilers to help keep the company creating content week in and week out for you to enjoy all year long. So that's it for this episode of Zach on Film. We'll see you next week.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.